Okay. I would like to acknowledge our sponsors for tonight, which is the first, the opening shiur of the season for our Navi shiur, Sefer Shmuel. We're beginning Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. And tonight's shiur is sponsored by Rabbi Shlomo and Shani Wallman in memory of Rabbi Wallman's father, Shmuel David ben Avraham Chaim, Rabbi Shmuel Wallman, Zichrono Levracha. In the merit of our learning together, the neshama should indeed have a great, great aliyah. Okay, so to recall where we were when we left off with the end of Shmuel Aleph, David had been running away from Shaul here, there, and everywhere. The last we find him, he was hanging out amongst the Plishtim, and the king of Plishtim had a lot of confidence in David HaMelech. And he actually wanted David to, you know, lead the people in war against the Jews in Israel. The king's own officers didn't want David involved with that, and that problem sort of resolved itself. And ultimately, David makes his way back to Eretz Yisrael or to close by, and this is where we pick up our story. So if you have Navi in front of you, and I'll share my screen in a moment, we begin Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Okay, this is very exciting for me. I don't know about for you, but very exciting for me. I'm going to share my screen with you so you can see it on your screen as well. Okay. Okay, Vayihi Acharei Mos Shaul. So Shaul died. V'David shav mehakosis Amalek, and David returned from defeating Amalek. You might remember that Amalek had had conquered a city and taken some people captive, and David returned from defeating Amalek. Vayeshev David b'tziglag yamim shnayim, and he was in Ziklag for literally 2 days, for a short amount of time. Vayi b'yom hashlishi, and it was on this day. And there was some anonymous person who came from the camp, from where Shaul was. Excuse me one second. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to blow my nose. Of course, you didn't hear it, but it was recorded on the recording. So, okay. So vayihi bayom hashlishi v'hinei ish ba min hamachaneh. Some nondescript, mysterious person shows up from the camp, from Shaul's camp. Ubegadav kruim v'adama al rosho, and he is his begadim, his clothing are shorn. He has dirt on his head, and these, of course, are vayhibivol David vayipol arza vayishdachu. So he comes to David, and he prostrates himself, and he bows before David HaMelech. Vayomer lo David, and David says to him, "Emiza tava, where are you coming from?" Vayomer elav, and he says to me, "Machane Yisrael nimlatati, I just escaped from the Machane Yisrael." Now, before we get into this too much further, I want to point out here that in Pasuk Beis, this fellow shows up. And this fellow is described with only 2 points of description. We don't know how tall he is, how short he is. We don't know how smart he is, or how dumb he is. We don't know how connected, or nondescript, important, or the opposite. But the Navi goes out of its way to tell us two things. Begadav kruim v'adama al rosho. Right? His clothing was torn, and he had dirt on his head. He's running away from, he's escaping from Shaul's camp, from Machane Yisrael, where war was going on. What do you think, what is this call to mind for you, that the Navi is telling us that, these two descriptions of the man?
I think that it's showing that the mourning part of it is going to be the most important factor.
Yeah. So what seems clear here is that this person left left Shaul, and he's mourning for Shaul, And that seems to be a very, very important fact for us to know about this person. We don't know anything else about him, but we do know that he was mourning for Shaul. I'll reshare my screen with you. Vayomer lo David, and David says to him, Eini zeh tavo, vayomer lov. Oh, and I just want to point out that the Baal HaTurim, I don't have it for you, but the Baal HaTurim points out that the term ubigadav, which is in this pasuk, the clothing that was rent, appears four times in the Chumash or in Tanakh, and if you look at these four times, they're all about avelos. So perhaps you could have suggested that this pasuk was telling us that this guy was escaping from war, and his garments were torn, and he was all dirty because he's escaping a war zone. But the Baal HaTurim says the term ubegadav bamikra is, and it gives us four situations. And if you look at the four times that it's mentioned, it really has to do with avelos, the equivalent of sitting shiva. So David says to him, "Where are you coming from?" Vayomer love David. Vayomer love David. Mehaya davar haged nali. So he says, "Well, I came from. I just escaped the Israelite camp, i.e." Where Shaul was, and David wants to know. Well, tell me everything. Tell me what do you know? What happened? What's going on? Vayomer, and he says, Asher nas ha'am min ha'milchama v'gam harbei nefal min ha'am v'yamusu v'gam Shaul v'yehonasan b'no mesu. He says it was an absolute routing. The Machane Yisrael was decimated. Many people died, including Shaul. And Yonasan, his son. Okay. Vayomer David el Anar. And David says to the lad, which we now know he's a young man, Vayomer David el Hanar, Hamagidlo, who spoke to him and shared with him this tragic information. Eich Yodat. How do you know this? How do you know that Shaul and Yonasan died? And here, the lad responds, Vayomer ha-na'ar ha-magidlo, and the na'ar, who brought him the news, said the following, Nikro nikresi bahar ha-gilboa, I was happening to be by Har Gilboa, where this was all taking place, vihine Shaul nishan al-chaniso, Shaul was leaning against his sword. V'hineh harechev uvalei aprashim hidbikuhu, and the enemy was closing in on him. Now, what he was leaning on his sword, it doesn't mean he was leaning on his sword like a cane. He was leaning on his sword to commit suicide. V'yifen acharav v'yir'eni, and he turns around and he saw me. Vayikra Eli, and he calls to me, Vaomar Hineni. And I responded and acknowledged his call. Vayomer li miata, and he says to me, who are you? Vaomar Elav, and I said to him, Amaleki Anochi, I'm an Amalekite. So now we have a third significant, or maybe four. We know that his garment was rent, he had dirt on his head, he was a young fellow, and he's an Amaleki. So this is the little crumbs that the Navi is dropping along the way, I think, to draw a picture for us here. And the question is, what's the picture that the Navi is trying to draw for us here? Again, the Navi could have told us lots of things about this person. Maybe who his parents were, maybe something about his family, maybe something about his interests, his likes, his relationship with, maybe he had some relationship with the Jewish people, with David. No, all we know is what I said, is what the Navi says. Vayomer li miyad, he says, Amaleki anochi. Vayomer elai, and he says, and he, Shaul, said to me, Amod na alai umosaseni, stand on top of me and kill me. Ki achozani hashavatz. Now this is a very difficult phrase to explain. Ki achozani, because the shavatz has taken hold of me. Right. It's not exactly clear what that means. Ki chol od nafshi bi. Even if you look at this English translation, right? What is it that I have on the screen over here? He said to me, "Stand over me and finish me off, for I am in agony." Ki achazasani hashavatz. So our English translation here in the Sfaria assumes that shavatz means agony. Ki chol od nafshi bi. For I am barely alive. In other words, he tried to commit suicide, and not for a lack of trying, he failed, and he's asking this fellow to finish him off, to kill him off. Va'emod alav va'amosasehu, and I stood upon him, and I killed him. Why? Ki yadati ki lo yichia charei niflo, because I knew he would not leave from this place. In other words, he's not going to come out of here alive. He said, I killed him, I finished him off, and then I took the crown from his head, and some type of ornament that was on his arm, and I brought them right here to you, David HaMelech. Okay, so let me ask you, and I want really one, maximum two or three words, if you would like to share. How would you describe this fellow? What type of person would you say this is? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Leo. One second. Leo, you have to unmute yourself.
I can't be on but
Brazen.
He was brazen. How is he brazen? It was brazen by killing Shaul or by coming to David?
Telling David that he killed Shaul, the king, and here's the crown.
Okay.
Reward me.
Okay. Reward me. All right. All right. So the way you're reading this is that he was brazen. He killed Shaul, and now he's bringing the crown to David and maybe seeking some type of reward. Okay, that's one way to read this. Do we have somebody else who would like to share a different... Fred, go ahead.
Also, he's an Amalekite. Out of all people to come to the camp of David or Saul, someone who's a sworn enemy...
Okay, so he's a sworn enemy. He's an Amaleki. So this is very, very powerful. Maybe that makes him even more brazen to show up over here. Anybody else?
I don't know. I think that maybe... Do you hear me?
Yeah, just very briefly. How would you describe him in a few words?
In a way that there was sympathy because, like...
I couldn't hear you. What?
I think in a way there was sympathy because he knew he would die a hard death.
Okay, so empathetic. So we have a brazen personality because he's coming to David HaMelech. We have maybe, I'm not sure, Fred, where you're going with that, but he was a sworn enemy. And Esther points out that maybe he was empathetic, an empathetic type of person. He saw, he didn't have to listen to Shaul. Shaul was in a compromised position. He could have pretended not to hear, and walked away. So maybe he's an empathetic. Maybe he's an empathetic person. I think that if we look at how the Navi describes him, so let's look at the at what we know. It tells us that he had not ashes but dirt on his head and shorn garments. Seems to be that he was mourning the death of Shaul. He killed Shaul. This wasn't a victory. And I would say, therefore, Leo, he was not coming to David in a brazen act. He was sad about the death of Shaul. He was coming, in a state of mourning. Furthermore, what else does he say? He says, what else does the Navi tell us? Let's go back here a second. Nikroni Kresi Bahara Gilboa. His meeting up with Shaul was purely by chance. This was not intended. He is basically telling David HaMelech he had no intention of killing the king. No intention of doing so. I'm sorry to use Leo as a foil here, but I think that this is exactly the opposite. I think that he's saying, listen, he's coming all morning. He's saying, you know, it's not like I'm happy about this. It happened. Nicro ni crazy. It's like, you know, happenstance. And when he introduces himself to Shaul, Shaul says, "Who are you?" He says, "Amaleki Anochi. I am an Amalekite." And as Fred pointed out, this is the sworn enemy of the Jewish people. Right? We just had a little story here about how the Amalekites had, you know, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, had gotten, you know, destroyed a Jewish town and taken people captive. So here you have this guy who's an Amaleki, and he didn't use this moment, like maybe he should have taken vengeance on Shaul. After all, Shaul, with the exception of you know, some animals and the king, and, you know, maybe some other people, but basically Shaul destroyed, you know, decimated, killed a large majority, if not the entirety of the Malachi tribe in his area. So this is a guy, Shaul is not a person who is nondescript. He was the king of Israel. It is very likely that this guy knew exactly who Shaul was as soon as he introduced himself. You know, oh, Shaul, you're the guy that killed all of my cousins. And yet, this fellow, this Amalekite, did not act to kill Shaul in his compromised state. Now, Shaul then seeks his assistance. Vayomer Eli, Amod Alai Umosaseni, Kiachaza Sani Ashavatz. Says, please kill me, because whatever the Shavatz is, the agony, whatever it means, you know, I'm in a difficult situation. And the guy says, Vayomer Alav Amosasehu, and I acceded to Shaul's wishes. And I didn't exceed to his wishes because I had out of vengeance. Ki adati ki lo yichyeh acharei niplo, because I knew he would never rise here from where he was lying. So
Rabbi?
this was a mercy killing, right?
Rabbi?
This was out of This was out of compassion. So I think everything that vayichazek David, and then he says, look, so the guy died. And I took the crown, and I took the amulet on his arm, you know, I guess a royal amulet, and I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing it to you. You know, this is like, it just, if you didn't know otherwise, you could certainly read this as an act of sort of compassion. That this is, you know, he couldn't carry David all this way, but at least he could, you know, bring his what are they called? The last effects. You know, it's like a soldier has a dog tag. He's like bringing the dog tag and bringing it back to the family. Lahavdil. You know, there's to me, it seems that everything that the Navi is trying to tell us here is to paint this fellow in a very compassionate, in a very positive light. Yeah, somebody wanted to say something? Sadal?
Me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if I could. We also say that we could. I would say I wouldn't trust him necessarily. He's saying what he's saying what happened. How do we know that it's true?
Okay, all right.
That's
so,
on one hand, and he's also he's very naive, I think, and innocent, kind of the way he's just talking about it. I mean, he was the king of the country,
right?
He killed him,
right?
And he killed him. What? Even mercy killing or not, but he killed him.
Right. Okay. So, you know, how do we trust him? So all we have is the text. And and while you're right, it's a fair question. You know, maybe it's, maybe this guy is just playing David. But is there anything in the text that indicates otherwise? And the way, at least what I'm building for us here, And the way I see the psukim, it seems to me that the Navi wants us to come to a conclusion that this guy was really, you should feel, you should have a sense of compassion for this person, that he was a decent person. And it is in that light, therefore, that the next pasuk, I think, becomes really challenging. Vayichazek David bivigdo vayikra'em. David now himself has this information. He clearly believes the fellow, and he runs his own garment. He's sitting, he's now going to sit shiva himself, as it were. Vegam kol ha'anoshim asher ito, and all the men with him. Vayispidu, and they eulogized him. Vayivku, and they cried. Vayatsumu ad ha'erev, and they fasted for Shaul and for Yonasan, and for the nation of Israel, and for the whole house of Israel that that had fallen by the sword in this battle. And now, Vayomer David Alanar, David says to the folks, can I ask you to please mute yourself so we're not disturbed by what's going on in the background?
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Vayomer David El Hanar, so David says to the lad, Amy Zata, where are you from? Vayomer Benish Ger Amaleki Anochi. He says, I am, and this is also a strange language here, Ben Ish, I'm the son of a man who is Ger Amaleki, an Amalekite convert, meaning he was converted to Judaism. Vayomer loved David, and now David says to him, how could you not have had awe and reverence to stay your hand rather than killing the anointed one of Hashem? You killed the king of Israel. How could you do such a thing? David called one of his own servants, Vayomer Gesh Pegabo, come here and kill him. Vayakeo Vayamos. And he takes a guy and he kills him right on the spot. David says to him, Damchal Roshecha Kificha Ana Bechal Emor Anochi Mosasius Mashiach Hashem. You're the cause of your own death because you admitted to killing the Mashiach Hashem. So I'm left here with an interesting conundrum. On the one hand, the Navi builds like 10, 11, 12 psukim or so of a guy that we should have some feelings for. This guy, had no intention of killing Shaul. He chanced upon him. Shaul was in a difficult state. He acceded to Shaul's wishes because he realized that this was, what Shaul was asking for was probably the best outcome. He mourned Shaul's death. He's wearing the mourning clothing, right? He didn't kill Shaul as soon as he saw who Shaul was. He could have, out of vengeance. He's an Amaleki. Shaul killed almost all the Amalekis, and then he takes it upon himself to bring the final effects of the king, the crown. He could have taken the crown and melted it down for gold or whatever it was made out of, and made some good money off of it, right? He takes it and brings it to David, right? His next of kin. Shaul's dead. Yonasan, his son, is dead, but his son-in-law is still is alive, and he brings it to him. So we find Shaul is we find that this Amaleki is really painted in such, what's the word I'm looking for? Not compassionate colors, but sympathetic, in a very sympathetic way. So why does David turn around and murder the guy? It doesn't seem to be commensurate. So maybe, like Chippy is saying, maybe David just didn't believe the guy at all. Maybe David suspected this was just all a ruse and he killed him. Yeah, go ahead, Linda. You're on mute, Linda.
Okay. Why is it considered good to do mercy killing?
I'm not saying it's good, but you can understand, but you can see that the fellow was not acting out of you know, out of malice, right? A person who engages in mercy killing, assuming they're a healthy, normal human being, they're doing it because they feel that this is a compassionate act. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but he's clearly doing this out of compassion for Shaul. So so the Navi paints him in a very sympathetic way, and then David turns around and lops off his head, you know, off with his head. Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
The David like do this for no reason, the killing.
Right, so we have to understand why exactly. That's what that's precisely the question that that we want to address. So, go ahead.
I think it had to do with Yehonasan also, not only Shaul, but it was Yehonasan that was killed as well, and Yehonasan was his best friend and his better half, like his other half.
Yeah, that's true, except for the fact that the Navi says that David exclaims the reason that he chopped off the guy's head, the reason that, you know, I don't know if he literally did that, but the reason why he killed him was not because of the death of Yehonasan, but because you, the Amaleki, deigned to lay a hand on Mashiach Hashem. That's Shaul. That's not yet. That's not Yehonasan.
So he protecting his soul.
What?
Maybe David was trying to protect the soul of Shaul.
By doing what?
Well, there's a view that if you suffer in this world, you don't have that much more in the next world.
So how is David helping that by killing the guy who killed Shaul?
Because he didn't allow Shaul to do tshuva before he died.
I see what you're saying. In other words, you're saying he killed the killer. He killed the Amaleki because the Amaleki did not allow Shaul the opportunity for further tshuva. Okay. All right. So that's a possible answer. But all I'm saying is that I think that that's something worth considering. But what I'm pointing out is that the Navi paints this fellow in a very sympathetic way. The Navi's description of this guy is very sympathetic. So to say, and what you're saying I think makes sense, Linda, but that answer sort of flies in the face of how the Navi itself is describing the guy. Michael, you have your hand raised.
Sorry about that. I do, and I think that David always had tremendous respect for Shaul, and in his personal interactions with Shaul was extremely careful of Shaul's kavod, more than almost anybody else, and certainly a lot more than you would expect from a man Shaul is threatened to kill. David wouldn't permit his own generals to do any harm to Shaul. So I think no matter how sympathetic the Amaleki may be, he violated one of David's cardinal rules to dealing with Shaul, which was always be respectful of his person and don't take credit for murdering him. That's for sure. So just maybe part of it.
Okay. All right. I want to take a look also, at... Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Chippy.
We know that David is quick to anger at times, and he might have been so distraught on hearing that Shaul was dead that his first response might have been, he didn't think through, he just said, kill him. He heard the news and he said, kill him.
Right. Okay. All right. Could very well be. Maybe this is part of a pattern that we'll see developing. So I want to share with you a couple of Mefarshim, some of which you don't have in front of you, and some of which I'll share with you on my screen. But the first is a parish called the Mincha Ketana. Happen to like that name of that for anybody who likes davening Mincha Ketana. Okay, so this is on pasuk. Whoops, I lost my place here. One second. Pasuk Tes Vayomer Eli. He said to me, "Stand upon me and kill me, ki achazani hashavat." So the Mincha Ketana says the following. Hold on. Again, I'm just going to read it for you. You don't have it in front of you. Ki achazani hashavat, says the Mincha Ketana, Do you know who this Amaleki was? This Amaleki was not an Amaleki. This fellow was Doeg HaAdomi. Why is he called an Amaleki? Oh, we'll have to figure that out. But there is a medrash that says that this fellow was Doeg HaAdomi. And for those of you who don't remember, Doeg was a general of Shaul, and he was the fellow who Shaul sent to wipe out the entire city of Kohanim, Nov Ir HaKohanim. So says the Mincha Ketana, Chet Shel Nov She'amus Achshav Aleha, that when he came forth, hold on a second. Okay, sorry. Let me step back here. When he came forth to Shaul, Shaul says to him, "Stand upon me and kill me." And Bikesh Shaul mimenu shetei misasa al yado. I want you to kill me. Ki heched lehave kapara al avon nov shenehargu al yedei doeg. I want you to kill me. I want you to kill me as an atonement for what I did through you, which is that the whole city of Nov and the Kohanim were wiped out. And so the Mincha Ketana says this guy was a sympathetic, was clearly a sympathetic figure. But he was sympathetic really in a different way. Shaul wanted a kapara. In his last moments, he said to himself, I want to make some amends for the terrible things that I did. And what better way than you Doeg, to take my life for what I did through your hands. And this is the meaning of ki achazasani hashavetz, that the shavetz is taken hold of me. It doesn't mean agony, says the Mincha Ketana. The shavetz that is taken hold of me is chet shel nov, is the sin that I did through your hands of killing the city of Kohanim. Al kein, therefore, kevan shata haomer va'ose amod kein alai kidei shayanesh b'mida keneged mida. I want to die measure for measure for what I did through you. You're now going to do through to me. Shamarti lecha, I told you to go kill the priests of Nov, and now I tell you that you should kill me for this sin that I did. And now he does it. And Doeg, assuming that this Amaleki is not truly an Amaleki, but it is Doeg, so he comes to David and he tells him the whole story. So what goes through David's head? Why does David say, off with this guy's head? Even, who said it before? Chippy, Linda. Maybe he was robbing him of the opportunity of atonement. According to the Mincha Ketana, Linda, he was giving him atonement on the request of Shaul. So David says, you know what? Atagaramta misa Shaul, you caused the death of Shaul. Al yidei shaharagta kohane Nov, because you, Doeg, killed the Kohanim of Nov. Because had you, like all the other generals, like all the other lieutenants of Shaul, had you refused, like everybody else, you were the one guy to step forward and say, I'll take care of it, Shaul. But had you refused, im hayisa misarev, kimosha suav de Shaul, efshar shahaya misnache melahargam, velohaya nena Shaul alze. Had you refused, then maybe Shaul's fate would have been a little bit different. And he wouldn't have to be punished for this terrible sin, and he wouldn't have to die, for the deaths that he wrought. So David is saying, yes, it's true that Shaul asked you to kill him, and maybe maybe there's something there to that, but you know what? You are the cause for Shaul coming to this death to begin with, for needing that atonement. Because you were the guy that facilitated his desires. All the other servants, all the other lieutenants, all the other advisors, they said no. interestingly enough, and they lived, you know. But you Doeg, did not. V'zesh amar David, eich lo yareisa l'shloach yadcha. And this is what the pasuk means when it says, how did you deign to put your hand to the anointed of Hashem, meaning the Kohanim? How did you allow yourself to go and kill all those Kohanim? Not Shaul. The Mashiach Hashem is not Shaul. Mashiach Hashem are the Kohanim, the anointed ones. V'zesh amar... through your killing of the Kohanim, this brought about the need for atonement for Shaul. I apologize. For the need for the atonement of Shaul. So, okay. Just one more line here. The Mincha Ketana concludes by saying, Al Tadama bin Afshecha, don't think that just as Shaul was atoned through his death, you too shall be atoned through death. No, Ela Shazeha Oneshu Al Yedei Shegaramta Misas Mashiach Hashem. This is your punishment, but the terrible consequence for the sin of Kohane Nov, this will hang on your shoulders. What you are being atoned for now by my killing you is for what you did to Shaul, not for what you did to the Kohanim. Okay, so now the question is, why does the Mincha Ketana, based on a Medrash actually, why does the Medrash go out of its way to tell us that this guy was not really an Amaleki? And it gives us this whole, you know, this whole parish here. So on the one hand, it really solves a lot of problems. Problem number one that it solves is that, is an Amalekite allowed to convert to Judaism? Is he accepted? No. Is he accepted? No, he's not. He's not. So if this guy's an Amalekite, he says, I'm the son of a convert, da, 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 da. What does that mean, that he converted to Judaism? So the Mefarshim are, you know, it's problematic. And so maybe that's why the Medrash goes out of its way to say this wasn't really an Amalekite, this was Doeg. And now, understanding that this guy was Doeg, so now we can, you know, go through this whole commentary as we just pointed out. This also elegantly resolves another problem. This guy seems to be so sympathetic. Why did David kill him? And the answer to that is now elegantly answered through this commentary as well. He kills him in part because of what Michael Sokolow said a moment ago, that David had great respect for Shaul. You don't kill the king of Israel. But more than that, not just that you don't kill the king of Israel, this guy's a bad guy. He wiped out all the Kohanim. This is not just some, you know, guy who happens to walk along the way. This is a guy with a history. So we didn't get you. We couldn't get Al Capone on, you know, murdering all these people. We got him on tax evasion. So all right, you couldn't have been held to account before. We're going to hold you to account now. So the Mincha Ketana's approach here is a very elegant approach, which resolves a bunch of these problems. But it doesn't really resolve why does the Navi go out of its way to paint this fellow in such a sympathetic manner? If he was really Doeg Hadomi, the answer is a good answer to the question, but it doesn't really answer why the Navi... The answer explains why David killed him and didn't care about how sympathetic he was, but it doesn't explain why the Navi goes out of its way to tell us he was sympathetic to begin with. Who cares? He was sympathetic. He wasn't sympathetic. This guy was a bad guy. Who cares that he's sympathetic looking now? Okay, so I'm going to share my screen with you and give you a second approach here. This is the Ralbag in Pasuk Yudalad. The Ralbag in Pasuk Yudalad. Okay, hold on. I'm going to share my screen with you. Hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on. Sorry, Chomas Anach. We're going to do the Chomas Anach first. You see it on the right-hand side of your page? I'm not going to read the whole thing here. But the Chomas Anach also points out here the justification for killing this Amalekite. He seems so sympathetic. So he cites the Mechilta that Amar Rabbi Elazar. Let's just see, is there English here? No, there's no English. Okay, he cites the Mechilta. Amar Rabbi Elazar, I'm highlighting it here on the side of my page. Nishba Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem took a vow, She'im yavo mikol umos ha'olam lehis gayer she'yikablu osam, anybody can convert to Judaism. However, umi beso shel Amalek lo yikablu, an Amalekite will never be accepted. She'nemar vayomer David el anar, and this is why it says, David said to the lad, I'm going to kill you. Who are you? Beni Sham Amaleki, I am a convert from Amalekite, and then he goes ahead and kills him. So, what is the meaning of this? So, just skip down over here. He says the following: Ein Adam Mesim Atzma. This is sort of a clever halachic approach here. It says we have a rule that a person cannot self-incriminate. So if this guy went ahead and said, I killed Shaul, he's incriminating himself. But we have a rule, Ein Adam Esem Atzmo Rasha. You cannot be judged and convicted based on self-incriminating evidence. The Eino Neharag, the only way you can get the death penalty is Be'edim. If you have witnesses, not your own. You can say, I owe this guy $100, but you can't say that I killed him and I deserve the death penalty. The Zehu Din Yisrael. However, this is the halacha as it relates to the Jewish people. Aval biyumos ha'olam, but when it comes to dealing with the Gentiles and the general public, Ein tzarech edim v'neharagin al pihem. This rule that we don't offer the death penalty for self-incriminating evidence is only reserved for members of the tribe. Outside, we follow regular civil law. If you admit to something, you can get killed for it. And this explains why David killed this fellow. V'zehu shehuger ve'im kein dino ki Yisrael. This guy claims that he's a convert. So if he's a convert, then he shouldn't be killed because there's only self-incriminating evidence. There's no witnesses to it. And maybe that's what this guy was saying. He's saying, look, I'm a sympathetic figure. I did all these wonderful things. I'm a kind-hearted person. I killed him, but it was out of it was out of compassion. So don't kill me. But David says to himself, no, an Amaleki cannot convert to Judaism. So he follows civil law. He doesn't follow Jewish law. And therefore, you don't need Edom. If you admit to killing somebody, you can get the death penalty for that. He himself admitted to killing Shaul, and there were no witnesses. The Yim Huger Ma'alia, if he were truly a convert, then he could not be killed based on his self-incriminating testimony. However, the fact that we do not accept converts from Amalek. And the guy said, I'm a convert from Amalek, means he's not really Jewish. If so, then he follows civil law, and he had self-incriminating evidence, and it gets the death penalty, and therefore David killed him. And that's what the Chochmas Anach says. So again, the Chochmas Anach is saying something really, is trying to address a problem here. Why did he kill this guy? Not why did he kill him, because he was sympathetic. But why did he kill him if he's a convert? You can't kill a convert. You can't kill a Jew based on admission. And the answer is that his conversion wasn't considered a true conversion because he's an Amalekite. And so the Chochmas Anach is telling us why this detail of being an Amalekite is important. Right? So if the Mincha Ketana had one, approach here, The Minchas Hanach is taking us down a little bit of a different path. But I would like to suggest, one second, I would like to suggest, based on one more commentary here, the Ralbag, on Pasuk Yudalad. And I think that, and I think that there's something very powerful here. This is the Ralbag, Pasuk Yudalad. Says the Ralbag. Ralbag asks the following question. Okay. Yesh litmoha. Why did David command that he should be killed? This was a mercy killing. This was compassion. Shaul asked him to do so. Ella, shehatshuva baze einena mimasha yikshev, zesha omer chaver chavol bo vechavol bi. You are not master of your own body. You cannot tell a person to punch you in the face. You can be mochel, the monetary claim. Say, okay, you don't owe me money for punching me in the face, but you have no right to tell somebody to cause you harm. You're not allowed to cause yourself harm. A Jew is not allowed to commit suicide. We are not in control of our bodies. Our bodies are a gift given us to us by Hashem. And therefore, Ralbag is saying, it doesn't make a difference how sympathetic this guy is. Shaul was not allowed to ask him to kill him. It's not allowed. And if he did, you're not allowed to respond to that.
But he's a Malachite. He's not obligated by the same laws of Israel.
That's it. So Ralbag is taking a different approach over here, right? Ralbag is taking a different approach. He's not saying, going down that approach, that he's true. Maybe he was, somebody who he was really a convert, or the Amalekite is not, shouldn't be taken literally. Some of Farshim say he was from, he was living. Amalekite means that my father was living there, but doesn't mean that he was truly there. He was truly an Amalekite. I actually share with you something, just see if I can quickly see it to your question, Fred. If I can find it quickly. Hold on. Yeah, the Radak says the following. The Radak says, I'm not sure how to read this. He says, Yesh mehem ger shenis gayer vishav ledat Yisrael. And maybe this is what it means. Ben ish ger amaleki. Shenit gayer vishav ledat Yisrael. Does it mean that he converted to Judaism? Or does it mean that he converted to Amalekim and returned to Dat Yisrael? Not exactly sure how to read that Radak. But either way, the Ralbag is going down a different path here. And he says the following. It doesn't make a difference that Shaul asked for this to happen. You're not allowed to ask somebody to cause harm. You're not allowed to ask somebody to kill you. Kol Shekain, Behamasas Hamelach. Most certainly, the killing of a king. The Ein Mitzvah Hamelach Mimasha Tifteruhu Bazeh. The fact that the king asked him to kill him cannot be exculpatory. Ki Divrei Harav Divrei Talmud Divrei Mishomim. Because Hashem says you cannot kill yourself, and the person says you can't. We listen to Hashem. Divrei Harav Divrei. We listen to the rabbi. We don't listen to the student. We listen to Hashem. We don't listen to Shaul. Even though there were no edim, v'haya marshia satzmo, and he was self-incriminating, v'haya mipneze pater bidin, hine asa David l'horah shah. Nevertheless, David did it as a horas shah. Horas shah means that this was a one-time rule in order, as Michael Sokolow said earlier, shelo yikalu hanashim l'shloach yadam b'malchus. This guy really had no right to do what he did. Now, maybe we couldn't kill him because it was self-incriminating evidence. Nevertheless, a king has a right, in order to protect society, the Ran says in one of his drushas, the king has extra legal authority. And the king is allowed to cause, to give out the death penalty, even if the legal system cannot meet it out. There were no edim, there was no warning. The king, if the legal system is caught in a technicality, the king has extrajudicial power. So the Ralbag says, why was this guy with such described in such a sympathetic way? Why does David kill him? David kills him because you can't kill a king in Israel. You just can't. And I don't want people to walk around with this notion that the monarchy is something that should be treated lightly. Ulizos hasiba be'inan nizhar mishloach yad b'shaul kishaya b'ma'ara. And this is why David himself didn't take the opportunity to kill Shaul when he could have killed Shaul back in the cave a few prakim ago towards the end of Shmuel. David could remember that story when they were in the cave together and Shaul didn't realize that David was there and David could have taken him out. He didn't, because the king of Israel has a standing and it cannot be minimized. And even if you want to say that this guy wasn't truly a convert, even though he said I was the son of a convert, doesn't mean he wasn't truly an Amalekite. Here's where it says it. But his father happened to be living in the land of Amalek. But he was not really, you know, so he should have been treated as a Jew, not as an Amalekite. Okay. So, folks, we have a few different approaches here to answer our essential question, and I want to leave you with one final thought. Why does the Navi, who describes this guy so sympathetically, why does David end up killing him? Okay, so we gave a couple of answers. But the essential question of this sympathetic figure, why the Navi bothers to describe him sympathetically to begin with, I think still needs an answer. And here's an answer I would like to suggest. This fellow is an Amalekite. And he was a very sympathetic guy. But you know what the deal with Amalekites is? As difficult as it might seem, you got to kill them. This is what Shaul failed to understand in his lifetime. This is the cause of his death. The fact that this Amalekite is the one who ends up killing Shaul, in my mind, is almost a metaphor for Shaul's entire downfall. He lost the Melucha in part or in majority because he failed to put Hashem's morality over his own morality. And this is demonstrated beautifully in this very sympathetic Amalekite who still has to get the death penalty. Shaul, even at the end of his life, fails to understand what brought him to this point to begin with. It's a great irony and a great tragedy that it's an Amalekite that kills Shaul, as compassionate as it might be. This fellow, his compassion, assuming he's a real Amalekite, he's a compassionate Amalekite, is exactly the reason that Shaul lost his melucha to begin with, that brought him to this terrible point. And even at the end of it, he failed to get this message. It's like it's the last moment. It's like Hashem sent him an Amaleki. It's like, here you go. You got one more chance. Can you chop it? And instead, if we say that he was somehow. Why does the Mechilta say that this guy was Doeg Hadomi who was involved with Yerek Kohanim? The Navi says he was an Amaleki. But I think that maybe the answer is that what the Mechilta is telling us is that even at the end of his life, all Shaul could bring himself to understand is that killing the city of Kohanim was wrong to do. But he couldn't get to the essential kernel of what his flaw in life was. And his essential flaw in life was putting his morality in front of Hashem's morality. And that's why it's Bedafka, this Amalekite, that kills him at the end. And that's why it's this Amalekite that shows up to David, very sympathetic character, very sympathetic. And you know what David could have said? David said, oh, he's an Amalekite. He's very sympathetic. I'm going to let him live. But David does what Shaul was never able to do. And that is to put Hashem's morality above his own morality. And that's why I think that it's the Amalekite to kill Shaul. And that's why I think it's the Amalekite described so sympathetically. Because it is that conflict between being apparently a sympathetic figure and yet being an Amalekite who deserves, in Hashem's morality, the Amalekites deserve to be wiped out. Machot Timchet Zecher Amalek. And so if our original question was, why is this guy described so sympathetically, and then why does David kill him? I think that this answers it precisely. It wraps up the end of Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel's defeat is because he couldn't see God's morality in front of his own, and it sets up Shmuel Beis, putting David in the Melucha now. David was able to put the morality of the Judaism, the morality of the Torah, in front of his own morality. This guy killed a Mashiach Hashem, and as sympathetic as he is, he still gets the death penalty at the end, because it's not my morality that determines; it's the morality of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's a perfect way to end Shmuel Aleph and begin Shmuel Beis. The perfect segue. Before we end, any thoughts or comments?
I just wanted to say, what's even ironic, not so much that the Amalekite kills Shaul, it's Shaul who was requesting the Amalekite to do the mercy killing.
Yes.
And that's the epitome. That's the greater sense.
Yes, yes. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Go ahead, Linda.
I was thinking also that sometimes our enemies, like, have cells, the terrorist cells, they come in, they're our friends, they're very sympathetic to our needs, and then boom, you can let me know, they're still our enemies.
Right. Okay. All right. Very good. And somebody has their hand raised. I don't know who that is because it doesn't say.
My name is Miriam.